Blog Talk Radio.
You're going to make the call? Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Allahu akbar. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله all unqualified praise is due to Allah and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين praise be to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته and revealed his last ayah اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day have I completed my favor upon you and completed for you your way of life and preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation or embarrassment. I'm getting signs I can't be heard. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله and we bear open and sound testimony that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to whom the Quran is revealed is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. Oh Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad وعلى آله and upon his family وصحبه and upon his companions أجمعين, all of them. ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب الصعير. صدق الله العظيم. الله the mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the 67th surah. I believe the chapter is Al-Mulk, I believe. Ayah 10, the 10th verse. An expression of it is, if only we had listened and reason, we would not be among the companions of the blaze. Another ayah we like to add, وَمَا كَنَا لِنَفْسٍ أَن تُعْمِنَا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَيَجْعَلَ رِجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. This is the 100th ayah, the 100th verse of the 10th surah, Surah Yunus. An expression of it is, it never has been that any soul can believe except with Allah's permission. And Allah lays uncleanness and incapacity on those who do not use their intellects. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three things will be under the throne on the day of resurrection. The Quran, which will contend with men, having an exoteric and an esoteric meaning, the trust and the ties of relationship. The trust and ties of relationship, which will say, that is, the trust is the separate. So the trust is the Quran's first, the trust is the second, and now I'm mentioning the third. The third will be the womb, actually, the report gives, the ties of relationships, which will say, Allah, join those who join me and sever those who sever me. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report I'd like to add is Al-Miqdam ibn Madriqarib. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have surely been given the Quran and something like it along with it. Soon the time will come when a man will recline on his couch saying, only follow the Quran. Make lawful what you find in it as lawful and outlaw what you find in it as unlawful. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The title subject today is, you can't be guided without reasoning or interpretation. I'd like to add as a foundation for thinking about that statement, these reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for your edification. And this regards misinterpreting the Quran and the Hadith. When the verse, that is Ayah 187 of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, which reads, and eat and drink until the white thread becomes distinct to you from the black thread. When this verse was revealed, the reporter says, I took two strings, one black and the other white, under my pillow, and went on looking at them throughout the night, but I could not make out any difference between the two. The next morning, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I told him the whole story, and he explained to me the verse means the darkness of night and the whiteness of dawn. So this person was taking what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, he was taking it literally. And in taking it literally, he misinterpreted the action that should be taken in line with that revelation. Some of the wives, another report, some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they ask him, who amongst us will be first to follow you? That is, who amongst us is going to be the first to die after you die? And the Prophet said, whoever has the longest hand. So they took a stick and started measuring their hands with that stick. And Sauda, rahimahullah alayha, Sauda's hand turned out to be the longest. But when Zainab bin Jahsh died, first of all, in the caliphate of Umar radiallahu anhu, we came to know that the long hand was a symbol of practicing charity. So she was the first to follow the Prophet, and she used to love to give in charity. So again, they were taking what the Prophet said. That makes it a hadith, huh? They were taking what the Prophet said literally without giving it the correct interpretation, the correct interpretation they came to understand after the Prophet's wife, as mentioned, passed away. Another verse of the Quran, which is when Allah, the hadith regarding it, when Allah the Most High revealed the verse, come not nigh to the orphan's property except to improve it. And those who unjustly eat up the property of orphans, when that verse was revealed, everyone who had an orphan with him went to his house and separated his food from the orphan's food and his drink from the orphan's drink and began to retain the remaining food which the orphan himself was the owner of, and it began to spoil. The drink would spoil, the food would spoil, because they felt, those who did that, making that separation, they felt that they were going to be in trouble if they do something with the orphan's property and goods, and they didn't want that to happen. But what happened? The way you interpreted it as physical, you separated it, but then it spoiled. So therefore, it became wasted in that sense. This fell heavy on them, and they mentioned it to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah the Most High revealed the verse. They asked thee concerning orphans, say, the best thing to do is what is for their good. If you mix their affairs with yours, they are your brethren. Then they mix their food with his food, and they mix their drink with his drink. So the interpretation that they had of it as something literally to do wasn't the correct interpretation. It brought harm. And this is one of the ways to know if the interpretation is correct or incorrect. What does it benefit? What does it harm? And if the harm is outweighing the benefit, and it's manifest especially, then obviously that's the wrong interpretation. But the point to be made right now is interpretation is necessary. Reasoning about a matter is necessary. Reasoning about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed is necessary. Reasoning about what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left with us is necessary. A couple of examples comes to mind right away in terms of the Quran itself. The Quran itself. There were multiplicities of collections, you know the story, the writing on leather, the writing on bone, the writing on wood, different places where parts of the Quran were found, because memorization was the most important thing at the time and during the time of the Prophet. And but when the Prophet passed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then a very strong cry and call was, we need to put it all in a book. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was resistant to that because he did not have from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam an indication that that is something that should be done after he passed away or any time in particular. So, as the Muslims gathered and with their concern about it, it was resolved. It was decided. Yes, we're going to put it all, we're going to make one compilation of all the revelation. And, you know, there was a committee of persons, which included Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who, inshallah, we have something more to say about him. And today the book that we have is the book that was compiled at that time. But it was not compiled according to some hadith. It was compiled according to the shura that was taken among the believers in the interest of the objective of the revelation itself. and reasoning with the fact that how will we be able to continue as we are, and how will the ummah be able to continue as it is and on the quote-unquote Sirat al-Mustaqim without the clear guidance of the book. And so reasoning prevailed, and today, mashallah, we have that book. Another instance where, so here's one where we do something that's good, but for which we were not directed explicitly to do that. But by reasoning, this is what we did, and the result is what we have, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for today. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he became the successor to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he became the successor, there were those who turned back from what they were practicing during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They stopped doing all that he did, and Abu Bakr said, "I'm going to war," and he went to war. They're called the Ridaa Wars, and there's reasoning that's acceptable, that is plausible for sure, that had not Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu won the battle, the Ridaa war battles, Umar radiallahu anhu would not have been able to accomplish what he was able to accomplish, because he didn't have to fight those battles. But Abu Bakr did, and it provided the ways, the means by which the clear space for Umar to do what he did, mashallah, and he's reported in the history as being one of the most significant 100 individuals in human history. Nevertheless, when he came upon Abu Bakr one day, and Abu Bakr was saying, "I'll fight them, I'll fight them, I'll fight them." Now, here, Umar, he brought a hadith. He said, "Is not it the case that the Prophet said that once a person takes shahadatain, that his life, his blood, his honor is inviolable to another Muslim?" Abu Bakr said, "Nevertheless, if they stop doing what they were doing in the time of the Prophet, and if they hold back so much as the nose rope of a camel, and if they make a distinction between prayer and salat, I will fight them." And Umar said, "Then I understood that Allah had given him a better understanding in the matter of fighting than he had given to me." So here's Abu Bakr responding in a way that appeared to contradict the report that Umar brought to him. Abu Bakr was sports world scrub. Abu Bakr was no scrub. So it's like, okay. Well, what's his justification? His justification is understanding the objective, the destiny, the purpose of it all, and the perfection of the way of life. One of the things that the companions, radiallahu anhum, one of the qualities that they had was what's called the mizaj shinasi rasul. Mizaj shinasi rasul. What is that? Understanding of the temperament of the Prophet. Understanding the temperament of the Prophet. That is the capacity to be able to understand. It's like, nah, Prophet wouldn't say that. And if he said that, what? I'm just saying, this is X. You can just say X. The Prophet wouldn't say X because of this, that. And many of them were able to take that position because they lived with the Prophet. They saw the Prophet act. They saw his behavior. They saw his temperament. They saw his disposition. They saw the way he decided under different circumstances. And that constituted a background knowledge that they had, which enabled them to consider any report that anybody brought them, and they look at it against the mizaj shinas rasul. They look at it against his temperament and such that, okay, you say he said that. Okay, let's say he said that. If he said that, then how does that square with this aspect of his temperament, his disposition, et cetera, et cetera? And that is, of course, where we get fiqh. and of course, that term has become a very technical term nowadays, but it wasn't always technical. It's not, and we should not only see it as a technical term. It means the understanding of how the religion is to be applied. That's what fiqh actually means. And one of the ways, sometimes when people give us our vocabulary and our definition, you need to understand that they often, the dishonest among them, they give you the definition as a corral. Don't go outside of this definition. If you go outside this definition, bid'ah, bid'ah, bid'ah. And that very wrong treatment is what has caused the Muslim world to be behind the Western world, at least. Publication that I believe the name is The Lever of Riches. The Lever of Riches. And it follows the history of civilization, economic development, wealth creation, blah, blah. And he talked about how the Muslims were the leaders in industry and in fabrication, i.e. manufacturing, et cetera, for centuries. But they said for some reason, around the 5th century CE, that is, pardon me, 5th century Hijra, it's like 12, 13, around the time that they were inside the Renaissance, he said for some reason, their language, the Muslims fell off. And inside the statement, the author is saying they ceased to innovate. And I'm satisfied it's because of the misinterpretation, the misdefinition of the term, English term, innovation. All innovation leads to hell. So you stop innovating in weapons, you stop innovating in irrigation, you stop innovation in manufacturing and fabrication. No, the bid'ah to watch out for is to not corrupt the religion. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum. I have perfected for you your way of life. Don't mess with it. Everything else you can mess with. That's who it talks. Now, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what y'all do out here in Philadelphia, New Jersey, but I think there's hoods everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm starting to revert to type now. Okay. The idea is that the wrong definition leads to the wrong direction. There is, not only does the wrong definition lead to the wrong, or rather the wrong interpretation leads to the wrong, it also, misinterpretation kills. Literalism kills. There's a report from Abu Daoud. He narrated that Jabir said, we went on a journey, and one of the men with us was struck in the head, stone, and started bleeding. Then he slept, and then he woke up and needed to do ghusl. He was in a state of janaba, or impurity. He asked his companions, do you think I could get away with tayammum, that is just not making the ritual purity with water, but making it with clean earth? He said, do you think I can get away with doing tayammum? They said, we don't think you have any excuse because water is available. So their reading of it was, if water is available, you can't do tayammum. Without respect for the circumstance, no, you don't have any excuse. The report goes on. So he did the ghusl, and he died. When we came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he was told about this, the Prophet said, they have killed him. May Allah kill them. Why did they not, the prophet continues, why did they not ask if they didn't know? He said, the cure of the one who does not know is to ask. That's a big, important lesson right there. I'm from that place where he said, no, don't assume. Don't assume. Because you know what happens when you assume. You make an ass out of you and me. Don't assume. And be humble enough to say you don't know. If you don't know, you don't know. But if a person is interested in not appearing to be someone who doesn't know, so they act like they know when they don't know, those are dangerous people. They will get you killed. And the prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the right question is half of knowledge. The right question is half of knowledge. That being said, there's Quran that requires interpretation. There are hadith that requires interpretation. There are interpretations that can be right, and there are interpretations that can be wrong. That's a risk. That's a part of the nature of our life. But let's say this as we conclude this portion of the khutbah, that sometimes both interpretations can be right. This is a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'll even say, since it keeps coming across my mind, I'll say it. Attributed to the Prophet. Narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. On the day of Al-Azab, Al-Azab is the clan, the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent them, he sent a group of Muslims on another mission on that day. And he said, none of you Muslims should offer the Asr prayer but at Banu Qurayza's place. That is, Banu Qurayza was the tribe that they were going to address. So as they were going to Banu Qurayza's place, the Asr prayer time came in. On their way, some of them said, we will not offer it until we reach the place. They're taking it as the Prophet said, none of you Muslims should make the Asr until you arrive at Banu Qurayza. That's what he said, and that's what I'm speaking English, obviously. So when the Asr prayer came in, there were those who said, no, we're not going to make it. We are going to make it at Banu Qurayza because that's what the Prophet said. While the other said, no, we will pray right now because the Prophet didn't mean that. He didn't mean don't pray until you get to Banu Qurayza. He's just meaning go fast, be in a hurry. That's the way the other group interpreted it. Later on, it was mentioned to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this differing of opinion on that matter, and he did not berate either of the two groups. Okay, you saw it this way, and you saw it that way. Both of you are correct. The Prophet is known by what he said, what he did, what he approved, and also his silence is also consent. So if he didn't charge the ones on the left or he didn't charge the ones on the right, then whichever one you choose, it's okay. So it's for us to understand, while it's necessary, or rather that it is necessary, and that literalism kills, ritualism kills, superstition kills. You have to learn how to use your intellect, your reasoning. Don't be a blind follower. Don't go in taqlid. Don't go in. Okay, well, they said it. Where you from? Where you learn stuff from? You ain't been nowhere but East Oakland. What you got to say about Islam, man? No. Think for yourself upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And in alignment with what Allah has revealed and what the Prophet has modeled. And inshallah, you'll be guided aright. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين الله أكبر بسم الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين The best guidance is with Allah's permission everything I say ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء And they encompass nothing of his knowledge except what he pleases. Nobody who even can get the label of one who knows, if we can even say that, if his knowledge that they have, it is by Allah's permission. It's not by anything else. It's by Allah's permission. Okay? So the best guidance with Allah's permission is by reasoning and interpreting with the Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, who we mentioned earlier, he was sent as the first governor of Yemen, and he was also sent back to Mecca as the first advisor to the young man, the very young man that was made the leader of Mecca. After the, I'm going to call it the liberation of Mecca. And so Muaz ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, he was his advisor. But then as al-Islam spread, there were companies of people coming to ask for Islamic teachers. So Muaz ibn Jabal was the first of those that were sent by the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet examined him before he went on his mission. And he said, and how will you judge? He said, I will judge by what Allah has revealed in the book. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what if you don't find any information there, meaning for your decision? He said, then I will judge by your sunnah, your practice. Prophet said, and what if you don't find any information there, information in my language? He said, then I will exert myself to come up with the best view of the matter. Ijtihadu ra'i. I will use ijtihad to form my opinion. And the Prophet patted him on the chest. And he said, praise be to Allah who has given the messenger of Allah a messenger with whom he, the prophet, is pleased. A lot of information in that. But the point is that becomes the standard for making judgments on your own. We hear the language ijtihad. It's exerting yourself to make the right decision. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a ruler judges and strives to make the right decision, and his decision is correct, he will have two rewards. And if his decision is wrong, he will still have one reward. This is our way of life. I am arguing against blind following. I'm arguing against literalism. I'm arguing against those who tell you you should not think. I'm arguing against those who don't value logic for what it is. Do you understand? And if you don't, be informed today. The role of logic is to discover falsehood. The less capable you are to use logic, the more likely you are to be deceived. Innafati dhikra. Here's another thing. MashaAllah, I feel very much at home, so I'm going to use some home conversation, some home talk right now. Get off of the translation plantation. We're in Free Haven, right? Free Haven, wasn't this a community, a city established by ex-slaves? Do I got that twisted? It's a good twist, but you know, that's it. Get off the translation plantation. Because when someone gives you a translation, they are also, like definition, setting boundaries for your thinking. You can't think outside of my translation if that's the only one you accept. And so therefore, I mean, it's right on the deepest level, on the most profound level, as a person, as a believer, as a Muslim. You want to be straight. You want to be guided. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim in every rak'ah of our salat. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. We want to be guided. We don't want to go astray. Statement, dhakir inna fa'ati dhikra. There's a translation that says, remind, for the reminder may benefit the believer. Alhamdulillah, beautiful. Praise be to Allah. Wonderful. That's one of those, that's good, and that's good. But what about this one? Think, for surely you progress by the power of thought. And what about what Allah said in our reading? Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِلنَّفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَيَجْعَلُ رِجْسَ أَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. It has never been. It is not now. And it will not be in the future that anybody can believe. Also, that belief. You got knowledge now. Add to that the belief. You can't even believe without the permission of Allah. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will send uncleanness, rijza. This rijza, it carries the uncleanness, the filth, the corruption. It carries that. But it also carries the meaning, incapacitation. Allah will incapacitate people who don't use their intellect. Watch out, Bilalians. Yeah, I said it, Bilalians. That you're not harboring that subconscious, deeply embedded idea about you, is that if you want to hide something from a Bilalian, take that as a blank, y'all know where to fill it in at. If you want to hide something from a Bilalian, put it in a book. It never had to think, because that's how you make progress. So, as I conclude, think about this hadith. It's saying whoever makes ijtihad, exerting themselves to come up with the right answer, if they get it right, they get two rewards. If they get it wrong, they get one reward. So what do you say to people who say you shouldn't even do it? Whose team are you on? What's that? So this idea of exertion as a Muadhib and Jabal, who is the model example, whenever a group of companions would get together on a matter and a question, and the question was asked by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muadh ibn Jabal was in the group, everybody would turn. They look at Muadh. The Prophet asked, they look at Muadh. That's how knowledgeable he was. So when the prophet showed us that he's your model, then that's what we're supposed to be following. Look for your answers first, explicitly, concretely, in the Quran. Then look to, if you don't find explicit direction there, then look to the model example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here's another thing, very critical to understand. Talking about translation, talking about definition, and talking about vocabulary. Whoever gives you your vocabulary, they have drawn a boundary around you. And we've said that in effect. But one such word that has had its limiting effect on Muslims, especially new Muslims, is the word sunnah. I'm going to tell you something you already know, but some of you may not be conscious of it. But my goal right now is to raise it in your consciousness. No matter what your motivation, your intention may have been or may be, here's the case. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sunnah in the Quran, he's talking about his sunnah, the law, the way of Allah. When he talks about the model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Laqad kana lakum fi Rasulullahi uswatan hasana." So we are to follow the Prophet's uswa, uswatun hasana, the excellence of his practice. The sunnah comes from the uswa. He has a certain character, and that character leads to certain way of being. The way of being that we see outwardly, the way he talked, the way he dealt with his guests, dealt with his wives, made decisions about this, that, and that, all those are outward acts that are generating from the base of his uswa. So the sunnah, the externals that we see, come from the uswa, the internals. We'll conclude, inshallah, with this. And that is, sister just needs it. Brothers, we good. Sister's got it. Oh, Imam, you do what you got to do, but Imam just needs some physical attention. She probably needs air, no doubt. They may need to. Don't crowd around. Now, if there is someone that is medically equipped for that, you should be at the center of that action. Yeah. For those of you listening, there's a sister having a medical emergency in the audience. Thank you. Okay. So, mashallah, we'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and conclude the is a situation not in the Quran, not in the Hadith that any that I know of. So, should we conclude and just make salat? She's still there in the back, but rested, and the ambulance is out there. I believe they will roll in. And can you hear me now? Okay. So, should we wait until until they clear, and then is that any differing opinion? Okay. So we'll just wait for a couple of minutes, as long as it takes for her to do that. And every minute that you wait, seeking Allah's forgiveness and His mercy, is a forgiveness of sin. So we should be okay. Making dhikr is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is quote unquote His time that we have come together for the purpose of being reminded. And I think that is a major reminder that Allah is in charge of everything and we're in charge of nothing. And inshallah, all will be well. You're a doctor? Okay. Stop this. Yeah. Okay. You have any idea of what diagram you're working on? Uh-huh. Okay. So we're going to wait. Those of you who are listening, she's on her feet. She was sitting in a chair. She's sort of young. Well, sort of. She actually passed out. And so now the EMTs are here, and they're about to, I believe she's on her feet now. They're about to walk her out. Yeah.
They're putting her on the stretcher right now. She's verbal and talking. Couple of minutes. Inshallah. We'll be gone.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. So we're going to just conclude. Well, we're going to call it. MashaAllah, I appreciate it. We're here for the weekend, mashaAllah, inshaAllah. And the underlying idea will readdress in the next couple of days, alhamdulillah. So we'll conclude with dua. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين عينهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وأسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة الله أكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح فالصلاه والسلام على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لا اله الا الله محمد رسول الله سيدنا يحفظكم الله وثابكم الله make our roads straight and evenly no space between us say time divide us if our roads not straight our hearts won't agree الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين سبح اسم ربك العلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم جهر ما يخفى ونيسرك ليسرى فذكر إن نفعت ذكرى سيذكر ما يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تذرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبكى إن هذا لفي صحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله May Allah have grace, mercy, protection on Sister Sultana. I believe that was Sister Sultana Ali. So keep her in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, in your prayers, in your dua, inshallah. May Allah accept it from us. Ameen. I would like to blow some.